We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Following from their various... Are you here? Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. And so is his mother-in-law. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. And we are blessed. And we are going higher. Amen. That's a good rhyme, right? The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. And we are going higher. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, very quickly. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You can put it up. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I'm still an old timer. I still like to prepare my notes in hard copies. Amen. I'm adjusting gradually. So, media guys, you can put up the scriptures for us. I'll only read when it's necessary. Hallelujah. This morning I want to share with you on peace in troubled times. Amen. Glory to God. Peace in troubled times. You see, there are expectations from us by God in seasons like this. Alright? There's a right way to respond. Okay, there's a prescribed way according to scriptures to respond. Are you with me? And that is very important. And just observing the trend of social media, we can know that many Christians are living in fear. Many Christians, somehow, they may just say from their mind, from their mouth, that we're fine. But when we look closely, we know that they are uncertain. I want to share this with you this morning. I want to share this with thousands of people and many people across the country and beyond. How to enjoy peace in troubled times. How to enjoy peace in troubled times. All right, let's start from Isaiah 26, verse 3. What does it say? It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Do we have it on the screen? I read from the King James Version. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusted in thee. Do we have it all? "That will keep him in perfect peace." This is Isaiah the prophet talking. He said the Lord will keep that person in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That will keep him in perfect peace. What does perfect peace mean? In fact, let me just drop this. You see, for every word that we use in our daily experience, especially the words that appear in scriptures, one of the wisest things you can do is to always gain scriptural perspective of those words. Meaning every time a concept is mentioned or a commonly used word is mentioned, don't just check the dictionary for the meaning. Go to scriptures. Gain God's perspective. Most times if you go into English dictionaries or go and consult human opinion, you may miss the spiritual meaning of those words. And the word peace used there is one of those words you must understand what it means. You see, when you mention peace, some people think about United Nations. Some people think about the peace that the nations talk about. They think about peace treaties signed between nations after war. Okay, some people think about peace of mind, peace in their home. But you see, what is Bible peace? Or in context, according to the scripture, what is peace? This is not the peace that the world gives. We're going to get into that. Jesus talks about it. What is peace? Peace means the soundness that comes from God. It means the quietness, the tranquility of mind that comes from God because of welfare, because of divine welfare, divine provision, divine protection, and divine covering. Did you get that? That state of rest of the mind that comes from God because of divine welfare, divine provisions, divine protection. Hallelujah. That is the peace that the Bible talks about. Human peace is short-lived, but God's peace is eternal. He said, thou, you will keep him in perfect peace. Coincidentally, the words translated perfect peace there is shalom, shalom. I've taught you here before. Shalom, shalom. And really, that's what it means. It means perfect peace. That means the peace that is perfect. Hallelujah. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. This is talking about the rest of God, the Sabbath of God. I'm going to show you something this morning that will bless you. You see, what does the Sabbath of God mean? What does the rest of God mean? It is not the absence of external turmoil and uncertainty. No. No. For us, Sabbath is not just a day of the week to rest. It is the experience of the soul, irrespective of what is happening on the outside. Why? There's a confident assurance of God's position. Amen. Of God's mind, of God's intent. Therefore, our soul is at rest. Are you following me this morning? Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, those that believe enter into the rest. That means there's a rest for the believing ones. It means the believing ones have entered into a rest. But you see, like I said, that rest is not something that happens because of external occurrences. And this is something I want you to get. The rest of God, the peace of God, is not controlled by what happens on the outside. It's not controlled by the situations on the outside. Rather, is a condition, is an experience of the soul that controls what happens on the outside. Are you listening? Meaning in context, we're talking about COVID-19 all over the world today. How are we going to change this? There must be a peace in our hearts. There must be a rest in our soul for us to be able to wield the required kingdom influence, to wield the required kingdom authority over that evil called coronavirus. Are you listening to me? That means something has to happen on the inside first. You have to enter the rest first. This is not the absence of the enemy or of storms on the outside, but the condition of the inside. Give me Psalm 110. That's Psalm 110 verse 1. Let me show you something there. Let me just read it. Psalm 110. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. The Psalm of David. He said, the Lord said unto my Lord. Now David had this vision where he heard the Father talking to the Son. This was the coronation of Jesus. After he had fulfilled all of the requirements to meet the demands of justice on the earth, to meet the demands of justice for man's redemption, the Bible says he ascended into heaven and he sat at the right hand of majesty on high. It was at that time of sitting that David had this vision. He said, the Lord said to my Lord. Two Lords. Hallelujah. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Very remarkable. He didn't say sit down. And by the way, sit means rest in scriptures. When the Bible talks about sitting, it means everything is done. It means enter into rest. It means enter into perfect peace on the inside. But look at the construction. He says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That means in reality, in experience, the enemies are not yet made his footstool. But that notwithstanding, he said, take your rest. He didn't say, sit because I have made your enemies your footstool. No. He says, sit until I make your enemies your footstool. That means the enemies were still running rampage. But the position of conquest is sitting. That's what he's saying. Is somebody catching something? The position of triumph, the position of conquest, is sitting, is rest, is the perfect peace of God. That's what he's saying. He says, sit at my right hand. Sit until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit. Take a position of rest. Forget about the enemies running rampage. Until you sit in this position, you can't wield the authority to make them your footstool. Oh, glory to God. Is somebody hearing me this morning? Until you take this position of peace, this position of rest, this position of quietness of the soul, this position of quiet confidence in the ability of God, I cannot make your enemies your footstool. That's what he said. Sit at my right hand until that connotes a passage of time. But as the time is passing, there's a posture. Is that of rest? Is that of peace? Is that of confident assurance? Brothers and sisters all over the world, this is what God wants. He wants us to take a position. Just like he spoke to Jesus, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. He wants us to take that position of rest. He wants us to take that position of perfect peace. He said that will keep him in perfect peace. Whose word, whose mind is stationed on you. Why? Because he trusts in you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when you go on the internet or on social media and you see that 900 people died in one day, what is supposed to be going on in your mind? Sit. Sit. Take a place of rest. Somebody say, Pastor, how can I take a position of rest where in my city already there are hundreds of cases? There's a government shutdown. How can I rest? Well, the rest of God has nothing to do, and I mean this, has nothing to do with what's happening on the outside. The rest of God is a position of dominion. I need you to take note of that. When God tells you to sit down, he's telling you to take a posture of dominion. When God tells you, look, ensure my peace saturates your heart, he's telling you to take a position of dominion. In John 14 verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. 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 Meaning, don't allow it to be troubled. He said, neither let it be afraid. That means you have the power to determine what goes on in your heart. He says, don't let it. Sit at my right hand. Keep your heart in peace. And a major way to do that is to submit your ears to his word. You know, I put something out some days ago. I said, one of your greatest fights in this season is a fight to remain in faith. Jesus didn't say, when the Son of Man shall return, shall he find Christians on the earth? Shall he find churches on the earth? No. He said, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, now you are now seeing why Jesus had to say that. In Luke 18. Because many people's faith had gone out the window. He said, when the Son of Man shall return, shall he find faith on the earth? Meaning there will be difficult times. But protect your faith. Protect your peace. Protect that state of rest of the heart. Because brothers and sisters, it is from that posture we exercise dominion. That is what he's saying. Every prayer prayed outside of that posture of peace and rest is prayer prayed in fear. God did not hear it. It is sad, but it is true. You are just reacting from your emotion. He said, rest first. Sit first. Let my peace take possession of your heart. When you look at those things happening, assure your heart that you have a responsible husband. Assure your heart that you have a loving father. And love always makes provision for the beloved. Hallelujah. Give me that John chapter 14 verse 1. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You know what that means? That is an indictment on your will. That means you have the ability not to. You have the ability and the responsibility not to be afraid. Look at this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Have faith in God, have faith in me. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, one of my mantras, our mantra truth last week was, be an ambassador of faith. Faith is contagious. If I'm more contagious than fear. That's all we need to do in this season. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. You have the power to allow or disallow fear into your heart. That's what I'm saying. Meaning it's not completely up to God. You have a responsibility. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 33. First in King James and then in the Amplified. Then I'll share three things that God expects of us in this season. Very powerful. Three things that God expects of us in this season. Put up that scripture. He said, this thing, can you read it for me? One, two, go. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what? Peace. In the world you shall have tribulations. You shall have troubles. Troubles. Now, these things are happening at the same time. They are happening at the same time. You say, in the world there'll be tribulation, but in me you shall have what? Oh, come on, I can't hear. In me you shall have what? Peace. He expects us to have peace at the same time when there is tribulation and trials and troubles in the world. Hallelujah. Meaning you are living in the city, there is tribulations, there is trials, there's outbreak of coronavirus. He said, at that same time, in me you shall have peace. Don't forget, we just talked about taking your seat, resting. What is a position in Christ? In Christ. He said, in me you shall have what? Peace. In the world, put it up, you shall have tribulations. Oh, but read the next thing for me. I want you to shout it. I want you to shout it. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Woo! You know, I tell Christians, we have inside information. We have been pre-informed. It's a bit of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Give me the Amplified translation. Very fast. He says, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have perfect peace. Here it is again. And confidence. He says, in the world you have tribulations and trials and distress and frustrations. A lot of people are frustrated already. Hallelujah. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Are you listening to these things? This is Jesus talking. You have to pay attention to what Jesus says. He says, be confident. Be of good cheer. Be certain. Be undaunted. Take courage. For I have overcome the world. I need to hear this one. I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. That was a good place to shout. He says, I have deprived it of the power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. That is our husband talking. That is Jesus talking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, be confident. Be courageous. Be undaunted. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. Hallelujah. These are the things we should be spreading. Glory to God. Amen. So, three things I want to share with us this morning. Three things that God expects of us in this season. or you can call it three things that will help you stay in this rest and in this perfect peace. Number one, understanding the times and the seasons that we are in. Write this down. This is very important. Understanding the times and the seasons that you are in. Are you here? Understanding the times and the seasons that you are in. Listen to me. A lot of people have no understanding of the times that we are in. All times are not the same. All seasons are not the same. 200 years ago is not the same as 2020. As a student of scriptures, as a believer, and you are acquainted with the word of the Lord, the first thing I want you to know this morning is the understanding that God expects us to have, the understanding of the seasons that we are in. We are not just in anyhow time. This season is peculiar. These times are peculiar. And the Bible is clear about this. The problem is many believers don't know. We just talked about, oh, Jesus is coming very soon. These are the last days. The end time has come. Without the understanding of the times and the seasons, what has the scripture got to say about the times and the seasons that we are in? Hallelujah. Whoever understands the times and the season will be in command. Amen. You remember 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32. Put it up. Let me show you something. Listen, the scripture is not ambiguous. There's no ambiguity in scriptures about this current season. It's clear. Listen, these days, you can watch the news and open your Bible and see what they are talking about. You can hear in the news occurrences around the nations of the earth, events around the nations of the earth. Then open your Bible. Just open your Bible. You will know what is happening in the nations of the world. The Bible is clear. And I want us to gain understanding as Christians about the time that we are in, about the season that you are in. This is going to help you position yourself right. This is going to help you position your mind and have a posture in your mind, in your heart, and in your actions. This is very important. What did he say? Put the scriptures up for me. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32, I believe. He said from Issachar, King James, please. Hallelujah. He says, and of the children of Issachar. Then he gives us a revelation about these children of Issachar. He said, which were men that had the understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Pause. They had the understanding of the times. That means the understanding of the times is to help you know what to do. Yeah. Are you getting it now? They didn't just have the understanding of time for just having it sake. He said they have the understanding of the times to know what the children of Israel ought to do. That means this understanding of the times and the season that we are in is to help us know what to do. It's not just saying, oh, we are in the last day. So no. When all you know is that we are in the last day, you have not gained understanding. If you have gained understanding of the times and the seasons, you will know what to do. You will know what to do. The Bible started talking about the last days from Bible days. From the day the early church was born. So we are in the last part of the last days. Understanding. Understanding. What time are we in? What season are we in? Understanding. So that you know what to do. So that you know what to do with your life. You know what to do with your money. You know what to do with your career. You know what to do with your business. He said the children of Issachar have the understanding of time. And they knew what Israel ought to do. Listen, if what I'm sharing with you today doesn't affect your daily schedule, then you really lack understanding. That's the first thing. God wants us to understand the times that we are in. Number one, we are in the last part of the last days. That is the time that we are in. The scripture talks about the last days. From Isaiah 2, in the last day seeth God. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be exalted. Micah 4, the last day seeth God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. He said, in the last days, perilous time shall come. All through scriptures. The end of the age, the end of the time. Daniel talked about it. You can just use your Bible search in your concordance and just search the last days. You see the scriptures. End time, end of the age. You see the scriptures. We are in the last part of the last days. And there are a few things that will characterize these last days. Can I share some with you? Number one, gross darkness and gross darkness over the nations. That means there's going to be multiplication of evil. There's going to be multiplication of confusion. There's going to be multiplication of uncertainties in the nations of the world. There's going to be multiplications of perilous times. Isaiah 60 talks about it. He said, for darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. So it's going to be dark days for the nations. Malachi talks about the days that shall burn like an oven. I'm talking about the last days. Give me, very quickly, give me 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Look at this. He said, this know also. So he wants us to know. He wants us to understand. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. What is perilous time? The Greek word is kalipos. It means difficult times. It means hard times. It means troublesome times. It means harsh times. It means fierce times. It's in the Bible. These also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Next verse. He said, hard times shall come. Perilous times. Difficult times. Look at this. You know why? He said, because. The word for there is because. He said, because men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means a major trigger of the evil in the world will be selfishness. Somebody for selfish reason will crash the stock market, will alter some things. Why? Men shall be lovers of themselves. Those are the things the Lord wants us to understand. You see, when you begin to see evil multiply across the nations, trace it to the selfishness of men. For through the selfishness of men, Satan will have a window of entry. He will not just come and bring virus on the earth. No. He will not just come and bring economic hardship. No. He will have to use the selfishness of men. He will have to use the self-centeredness of men. The pride and the... Are you seeing that? He said, because four men shall be lovers of themselves. Put it up. They shall be lovers of themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Next verse. He's showing you what's going to fill the world in the last days. Without natural affections. You know what he's talking about? What's natural affection? A man should be attracted to a woman. Without natural affection. So a man is attracted to a man. That's end times, perilous times. A woman is attracted to a woman. A man is attracted to a goat. A woman says, I want to marry my horse. I want to marry my cow. And they sign me to law. They say everybody should do what he wants to do. Why? Is he a republic? Why? The Bible says God has given them to a reprobate mind. Reprobate mind. Meaning their minds are darkened. Their minds are twisted. It's a sign of the end times. You can see there. Covetous, lovers of themselves, without natural affections. Druse breakers. They can't keep their words. False accusers. Incontinent. Meaning no self-control. No self-control. They want to have sex in the train. They will have the sex there. Incontinent. They can't believe that they can be faithful to one man, faithful to one woman. They can't believe it. incontinent. Put it off for me. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Somebody will just look at you because you are righteous, they despise you. Have you seen that happen before? They just hate you. All this, whatever. They just hate you. Next verse. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Is this happening already? Talk to me now. Is this happening already? Next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying it. He's giving us categories. He said, from such, turn away. There's going to be darkness. But that's not the end of the story. There'll be more outbreaks. There'll be more earthquakes. There'll be more troubles. Even while we're still yet in the world. But see, that is not the only story. No, that's not the only story. So we say, number one, we're in the last part of the last days. Number two, we're in time of darkness. We're in perilous times. Number three, write it down. We are in the times or seasons of the emergence of the church. Write it, of the emergence and the dominion of the church. Write it down. The emergence and the dominion of the church. I feel like shouting. Woo! So in the midst of the perilous times, in the midst of the outbreaks, in the midst of the wickedness in the world, in the midst of the earthquakes, of the outbreaks, of the famine, of the locust spreading and swarming nations, the church will rise. The church will rise in power. The church will rise in authority. The church will rise in majesty. The church will rise in dominion. Oh, glory! You can see, this is why you must understand the times. So a church person who is afraid doesn't understand the times. A church person who feels uncertain. Hey, is Jesus coming very soon? I mean, come on now, wake up. It's your time to reign. So when a Christian is walking in fear, in uncertainty because of what the news is saying, they don't have the understanding of the times. They lack the understanding of the times. Oh, Paul said, don't be unwise, but understanding the times. Understanding the times. He said, redeeming the time for the days are evil, right? He said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding the will of the Lord in the context of the season. So that's the third thing, the emergence of the church. The emergence of the church. We know exactly what should happen before Jesus returns. Are you listening? Let's start from Isaiah 2. Give me Isaiah 2, verse 1 to 3, very quickly. Isaiah 2. Oh, say, I gain understanding. Shout it, say, I gain understanding. Hallelujah. Understanding the times. Understanding the times. He said, the war that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Next verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days. That means until this happens, Jesus is not returning. I will show you. Listen, CNN cannot tell us when Jesus will come. Virus outbreak cannot tell us when Jesus will come. He said, it shall come to pass. Meaning it will happen. Come to pass means it will happen. He didn't say it shall come to pass, meaning it shall happen. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. He's talking about the spheres of influence. The different spheres of influence. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it until nations start flowing into the church. So we'll move from church growth to church flow. We'll call it supernatural church growth. Nations should flow. Meaning only liquid flow. Meaning it's talking about the enormity of the harvest. Until that happens, Jesus is not coming back. So I'll prove it to you in the New Testament. Next verse. The days when we'll have whole cities saved, nation saved. He said, shall a nation be born in a day? It will happen. Once the presence of nation can say, yeah, we have turned to the Lord. Anybody who doesn't want is in disobedience. On behalf of my people, we want Jesus as the Lord of this country, as the Lord of this kingdom. It will happen. He says, and many people shall come and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. Out of Zion shall go forth the law. Meaning the decree. Law means decree. Out of Zion. What's Zion? Zion is a church. Zion is the dwelling place of Christ. Meaning our doctrine will fill the nations. This is understand the times. So that you can position yourself. Give me Isaiah 61 to 2. Isaiah 60. 1 to 2. He said, arise, shine, O God Almighty. Why is he saying you should arise and shine? He said, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Next verse. Don't forget, same time. Same time. What's the next thing? He said, because behold, what's behold? Kaza, see. See the darkness, definite article, the darkness. The darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But, so when we begin to see darkness, and then it graduates to gross darkness. You know, there's been darkness before, and then it's graduating to gross darkness, covering the people. He said, but the Lord shall arise up. This is when the Holy Ghost will sit upon us. This is where the Holy Ghost will sit upon us. Shall come, shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be visible glory. So the church will not escape from this world. Rapture for the church is not an escape. It will be a reunion. It will be a call-off so that the next phase of God's agenda can happen. Are you here? He said, but the Lord has risen upon you. What's the next verse? He said, nations. Oh, is somebody here? You now see how Isaiah chapter 2 will be fulfilled. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is somebody still here? So it's the time for the emergence of the church. It's time for the emergence of saviors from Zion. Saviors, he said, from Mount Zion, saviors will begin to arise. This is the time. This is the time for the greatest move of the Spirit. The greatest move of the Holy Ghost across the nations of the earth. The greatest move of the Spirit is time. He must understand the time. So when you are afraid, you are ignorant of the times. He said, darkness will cover the air, but is that all? Some people will arise and shine. Hallelujah. Let your mind catch this. So that you can pray. Remember at the beginning we say, pray from the position of peace. From the position of rest. Why? He says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Give me Matthew chapter 24. Verse 14. You know, the disciples came and said, maybe on Tuesday... On Tuesday, we'll have a talk show with some doctors about coronavirus. And then maybe I'll do a little on eschatology. Since everybody is interested, is Jesus coming now? I'll just do a teaching on eschatology. We'll stream online again. Eschatos means end. So we'll go eschatology. Eschatology means the study of the end times. Is that okay? All right. He says, this gospel, oh God, time and up, when you go home, read the entire Matthew 24. Matthew 24 was a response of Jesus when his disciples asking, when shall the end be? When will you return? Amen. So in context, he's talking about the second coming. Amen. And then a lot of the things he said apply to the Jews, not to the church. A lot of the things he said. But in between, we see the things that apply to the church. Let me just drop this. You see, in the study of the end time, a major reference point are the Jews. God's dealing with the Jews. Now, in that Matthew 24, you see it. He said, just like the sign of the fig tree. He said, when you begin to see the fig tree bring out leaves, you know that summer is close. He said, summer or spring is close. Amen. Now, the Jews are the fig trees. That means you can look at the dealings of God or the occurrences in the Jewish nation and know certain things about the second coming. Second coming, note, not the rapture. Are you listening? Those are two different things. The second coming is different from rapture. The rapture is the catching away of the saints. The second coming is the coming of the Lord to judge the Antichrist. And then we're going to see that. Are you here this morning? Look at this. Before the end comes, something must happen. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Isaiah 2, Micah 4. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, exalted above the hills. He says, and all nations will come. That's the gospel of the kingdom. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? Has it been preached in all the world yet? Talk to me, somebody. No. You know, I was watching a video, and this dear preacher, precious woman of God, she said, that was last year. She was in Jerusalem. She went on street evangelism. I met a woman who lived in Bethlehem. And told her, that was last year. She lives in Bethlehem. And told her, do you know about Jesus? And she did not know about Jesus. So, who's Jesus? Who's Jesus? Well, Jesus. Okay, I'm not really. This kind of faint knowledge. Some people say is this, some people say is this. She lives in Bethlehem. 2019. She had to preach to her and get her born again. Right in Bethlehem. That was hilarious, isn't it? The birthplace of Jesus. She wasn't saved, but she had not heard about Jesus. Is somebody here? Put it up. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, meaning with proofs, to all nations. All nations. Read the next thing for me. And then. This is part of what the church has to fulfill. Understanding of the times. Understanding of the times. Is somebody here? So the margins of the church. You and I have to stand in fearless faith and lead the way. Hallelujah. We have to stand in fearless faith. And are you enjoying yourself this morning? Who said the first thing is to understand the times and the seasons that we are in. That's the first thing. Understand the times and the seasons that we are in. So, the mark of the Antichrist come. No, the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. Give me 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, very quickly. Let's just read it, 1 to 7. Let's just read it. Let me just show you some things there. Before we go to the second thing God wants us to know. Oh, hallelujah. Alright. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto the next verse, he said that he be not soon shaken in mind. This is what is happening to many people. They are shaken in mind. He's writing to Christians. He says, so that you are not shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Amen. What does he say? He said, don't be troubled that the day of Christ is now. That's what he say. He say, oh, Jesus is coming very soon. Everybody, I know more religious Christianity has a way of imposing inaction on Christians when they think Jesus is coming tomorrow. Listen, if Jesus told you in a dream that are coming tomorrow, you are not supposed to be in your house. You are supposed to be on the street, on the internet, on TV, talking to people and saving as many people as possible. Did you get that? Let me say it again. Even if Jesus appears to you in a vision, in an open vision, and says, son, daughter, I'm coming 3 p.m. tomorrow. You are not supposed to be in your house with your children while waiting for the coming of the Lord. You should not sleep. That is responsible Christianity. You know how many Christians will do? Inaction. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Jesus is coming tomorrow. All right. Jesus is coming tomorrow. Honey, let's just stay in this house. Our children, let's purge ourselves. Let's be rapturable. That is irresponsible Christianity. Did you get that? If Jesus told you he's coming tomorrow, you are supposed to be out on the streets, out where the sinners are. Out, go, buy a TV station, close your account, buy an airtime. Jesus is coming soon. Give your life to Christ. We pray an intercession. That's what he's saying. Don't be shaking in mind. Go back to the scriptures. Don't be shaking in mind. Next verse. All right. Concerning the return, the day of the Lord being at hand. Next verse. Verse 3 now. Can you see this? Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. The Greek word is apostasia. It means the falling off from the faith because of deception. Amen. If our theologians have argued that there are three possible things that refers to, it could be political falling away. That's the breakoff of the Roman Empire. Some believe that. But no, that really doesn't stand. A religious falling away. Amen. That means men no longer enjoying sound doctrine. Apostasia. Amen. Except there be a falling away first. Next, no, put it up. A falling away first. He says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Some believe is a falling away because of the tribulation. That those who even believe after the rapture, those who even believe that, and I really believe that. I will do my explanation on that on Tuesday. All right? He says, and then a man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Next verse. Are you following? Those of you online, are you following? All right. He's talking about the man of sin. Listen. He's talking about the man of sin. This is not Satan. The Antichrist is not Satan. The Antichrist is a man possessed by Satan. Are you listening? He's actually an attempt to replicate what God did. God indwelt a human body called Jesus Christ. This is Satan's attempt to indwell a human body. Are you listening? That is the person of the Antichrist. I told you there's the spirit of the Antichrist, there's the system of the Antichrist, and there's the person of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is already at work from Genesis chapter 3. The system of the Antichrist, what we call Babylonian system, is already at work. But the person of the Antichrist will not be revealed until the church is taken. So watch this. Verse 4 now. So we call the revelation of the man of sin, that son of perdition, verse 1. He said, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God. You know what he's talking about? In the abomination of desolation. All right? In the temple, showing himself that he is God. Next verse. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Next verse. And now ye know what we toldeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Oh God, in his time. In his time. He has the time, and his time is not yet. Are you listening? This is our authority to bind coronavirus and the Antichrist action of nations. Because this is not his time. Give me NIV of verse 6 and 7. NIV. Please, you should have NIV of verse 6 and 7. All right. He says, and now you know what is withholding, what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. Are you seeing that? That means there's the proper time for him to be revealed, and it's not now. Next verse in NIV. He said, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. Is that true or false? It's already at work. The secret power of lawlessness is already at work. He said, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. Who is the he that holds it back? The church indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Are you getting it now? Understanding the times. That means as long as we are here, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. Are you listening? He said, until he is taken out of the way. Next verse. He said, then that wicked man. Next verse. He said, and then the lawless one will be revealed. Understanding the times. There's no need to fear. There's no need to fear. We are the people who are holding back. Until we are taken out of the way, he cannot be revealed. Are you getting blessed this morning? So that's the first thing God expects of us in this season. Understanding of the times. Understanding of the time. This is the time for the emergence of the church. It's the time for the dominion of the church. Get ready. It's the time that God will be promoting his people by his agenda. Over the affairs of industries, of cities, of nations. Can I get an amen? And you get ready to be part of the people that the Lord will promote in this season. Hallelujah. That's the first thing the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to do. Number two, expectation. The right posture of our hearts. He wants our heart to be postured. Of course, after the understanding, what follows? The posture of the heart. Or the attitude of our mind. And write it on that. That is the attitude of faith over fear. The attitude of visions of the days to come. Did you get that? How many of you got that? Number two, expectation. The posture of our hearts. The posture of faith. The posture of vision. That's what the Lord wants. That means it's not time to fear. God expects it. Do you understand? Give me Philippians chapter 1 verse 28. Let me show you something. Philippians 1 verse 28. He wants us to have a posture of faith. What does God expect? Understanding of the times and season. Number two, the posture of faith in our hearts. The posture of faith in our hearts and in our minds. Look at this. And in some things, he says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. You know, he said, don't be terrified in anything. That's what he's saying. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. I can't read this scripture without feeling the anointing. He says, and in nothing terrified. Meaning, don't be terrified by anything. Don't be terrified by anything. Hallelujah. Don't be terrified by anything. And in nothing, meaning nothing should make you afraid. Nothing should make you afraid. A major way to get that done is to speak. Are you listening? Submit your ears to God's word. It is labeled. You have the temptation to go on social media, on YouTube, what's happening, what's the latest. You have to make up your mind. I'm listening to 5 messages today. Until I'm done, I'll not do anything else. Did you hear what I said? I'm listening to 7 messages today. That's 8 hours. And I'll pray in tongues along and be jotting in my journals. When you are done with that, faith will cover your mind. Covering. Are you here? Submit your ears. Then the number two is your mouth. How to stay in faith. Your mouth. Speak peace. Just like, you know, when there was storm, Jesus did not come and say, is that storm? It is well, oh, God will do something. He said, peace! Peace! Be still. He spoke peace. Listen, you are to speak peace in troubled times. Declare it. Speak peace. Are you here? In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to be troubled. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. I refuse to be troubled. No fear here. In the name of Jesus. Have a posture of faith. You say, nothing terrified by adversity. Those of you in the overflow here, can you hear me? God bless you. Hallelujah. In nothing terrified. By no fear. Have a posture of faith. Have a posture of vision. You know why I added that? A lot of people cannot see the future anymore. Their brains are blocked. Oh God, oh God. That 10 million, what is it? That's not important now. Or business. No, they are not thinking. People have shifted things. In this season, let the pictures of the future be clear. Did you hear what I said? Let the pictures. What are your plans for the year 2020? Sit on them, pray in tongues on them. Let the fire of those visions burn in your heart. In this season, oh, not next tomorrow, not next month, today. Let the visions burn in your heart. This is why you must not yield to the laziness spirit in the air. You know, there's a spirit of laziness already at work. People already lazy. Holiday mode has been switched off. Wake up and maximize this season of holidays. I mean, this season of lockdowns and restrictions. Maximize it. Pick a course online. Learn something. Add to your skill. Learn digital marketing. Learn graphic design. Learn how to do fashion. Learn how to do something. Learn how to sew clothes. Learn how to do programming. Learn something. Above all, learn the word of God. So I can't go everywhere and say, Pastor said we should learn something. Number one priority is word dose. Are you listening to me? Dose yourself with scriptures. Dose yourself with the word every day. Dose yourself with the anointing of God's Spirit every day. Are you listening? Because listen, Satan is working overtime right now. Literally, this is, you can sense the demons. Listen, fear is not a feeling. Fear is a spirit. Did you hear what I said? Never you think that fear is a feeling. No. Fear is a spirit that must be bound and cast out. I say it again. Fear is not a feeling. Don't say, I just feel afraid. I feel frightened. I don't know. I'm just feeling this fear. No, cast it out. Because fear is not a feeling. That's something to write down as a quote. Fear is not a feeling. Fear is a spirit that should be bound and cast out. Glory to God. Would a fear try to come to you once in a while? Yes. It will try to come. Amen. It will try to come. But live far away from it. Do you understand? Live far away. Dwell on Mount Zion. Amen. Dwell there. Let your mind dwell in Zion. The Bible says in Zion, none shall say, I am sick. Dwell in Zion. Don't have fear. Let the precaution not take you into fear. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. We keep the precaution. It's good. So that we model some things for people because we are leaders. Amen. But brothers and sisters, what happened to eternal life? Christ is our sufficiency. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Meaning Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Christ is our oxygen. Do you understand? Christ is our life. Christ is what we breathe. The Bible says, for we are he. You say, for your life is hid with Christ in God. Meaning you live in a third environment. Oh, you live in a third environment. To get to you, the virus want to get to God, dissect God, get to Christ, intimidate Christ, then get to you. That is an impossible task. Not even Satan can do it. Hey, he said, for your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is hid with Christ. That means in Christ, then in God. Do you understand that? So you have to get to God. Open him up. And then open Christ. Say Christ, open him up. Then get to you. And even when they get to you, you have eternal life inside. is somebody here? That means God has put a software, an operating system within us that is indestructible. What did the Bible say? It said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What is it saying? Not of perishable seed, not of dieable seed, not of infectable seed. Hey! Fire! Palatosa! He said being born again, not of corruptible seed, not of perishable seed, but of the incorruptible. He said, which is the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Meaning, I'm born of the word that lives and abides forever. Me too, I live and abide forever. You know why? A seed is the life-carrying faculty of every and any living thing. That means the life of that being is propagated by the seed. That means through that seed, I have the life of God. Are you listening? Take a posture of faith. Speak it loud. Even when fear attacks, speak it loud. Listen, faith is not mute. Faith is a loud speaker. Makatosa. Faith is not mute. Faith is what? Faith is a loud speaker. Loud speaker, meaning faith speaks loud. Hey! Malalayas! Paya! I have eternal life. In the name of Jesus. No fear here. This is time for my emergence. This is time for me to arise and shine. In the name of Jesus, I arise and shine. I have become the light of the nations. I have become a shining light of the nations. Glory to God. Woo! Are you listening? That's what you should be telling yourself. When fear is trying to come, say, I'm the light of the nations. In this season, it's my time to shine. Oh, for the Bible said, gross darkness shall cover the earth. He said, but the Lord is sitting upon me, Malagos. The Lord is sitting upon me and is causing me to shine. He's causing me to shine. Never forget this. In this season, remember this, faith is not mute. Faith is a loud speaker. Faith speaks loud. Turn on, increase the volume of God's word in your head. Hear what I said? Increase the volume. It's about the volume. Eh? In every man's head, there are two speakers. There are two speakers. Maka patosa. It depends on the volume that you increase. Make up your mind, in this season, you will increase the volume of God's voice. In your head, increase the volume of the voice. Increase the volume of God's voice. And reduce the volume of the voice of fear. Can I get an amen? Amen. There are two speakers in your head. Deliberately increase the volume of the speaker you want. That's the speaker that broadcasts God's voice. Oh, hallelujah. Amplify the voice of God's word. The Bible says there's a report. He says, who has believed our reports? Who has believed our reports? Who has believed our report? He said to that person, the saving power of God is revealed. Oh, the arm of God to save, the power of God to save and deliver is revealed. We have believed the reports. And we will use our mouth to announce the reports, morning, noon, and night. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And take a posture of faith. Take a posture of vision. And number three thing that God expects of us as we pray and close. Number three thing that God expects of us is to take actions of faith. Of course, some of the things you are saying are already actions. Actions of faith. Actions of faith and love. Write it down. Actions of faith and love. Take actions of faith and love. Magidas. Luvro Bagadis. Lukababatos Kelebrendos Kishtepa. Part of it is speaking for the peace of God. Because speaking is an action of faith. Ligos evradile tuskaba. Juva, juva, juva. Lulis obadiles ulataya. Shaga bulet sula combrectusa. That we too should be intimidated. The church should be intimidated. Then the world is gone. The world is gone. If you are intimidated, the world is gone. Listen, look around. The only hope the world has is the church. Look around. Where is the message of hope coming from? From the NGOs of the world? From United Nations? From WHO? Oh, go and read now. They are afraid. They are hiding in their homes. Hey! But the church of God, we are the light of the nations. The church of God, we are the banner of love. We are the banner of faith. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. No, you go on the internet, go on the television. Where is the message of hope coming from? It's coming from the church. It's coming from the church. It's coming from the church. The message of hope, of confidence, and of faith is coming from the church. Check the internet. While we are the ground and the pillar of truth. We are the shining light to the nations. The Lord has given us for salvation to the ends of the earth. This is why we must rise in faith. This is why we must rise confidently. And hold Satan accountable for his actions. And tell him it's not your time yet. It's not your time. It's not the proper time yet. We bind you and we cast you out of our cities, out of our nations. And we are doing that already. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Take actions of faith. You know, Luke 18 verse 8. He says, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, faith is action. Do you understand? Faith is action. And that means actions of faith must be taken. That's what God expects of us at this time. Actions of faith. Actions of faith. Meaning, let your attitude and your action reflect faith. Glory to God. Let it be a reflection of your understanding of the season. Action, preach the gospel. That's part of the actions of faith. Sponsor the gospel in this season. Are you listening? Share the gospel. There are people that will easily believe now because they are afraid. When you say, "Where will you spend your eternity?" they'll start thinking. So it's time for us to preach the gospel. Listen, it's time for us to put the gospel out. And this week we're going to later ready, be ready to edit videos for us too. We're going to put things up. Put some audios into videos. Put audios. We're going to put things out and sponsor them. Sponsor the gospel. Amen. Share the gospel. Preach the gospel. Let your money finance the gospel. Give to the gospel. Are you listening? Take actions of faith. Take actions of love. Help someone in need. In need. Work. That's what the Lord expects of us. Walk in love. Hallelujah. Take actions of faith. Do things that show that you believe really that the world will return. Amen. That things will be better. That we'll still have an opportunity to reach the nations. Actions of faith. Actions of faith. In your home, take actions of faith. Concerning your business, take actions of faith. Take that course online. If us, a lot of online courses are free now. Take actions of faith. Glory to God. The Lord wants to see that disposition of faith. Hallelujah. As you keep the precautions, take actions of faith. Step out to do things in faith. As much as you can in this season. God expects it. Pray for the sick. It's an action of faith. Intercede. It's an action of faith. Pray for those affected. It's an action of faith. Take actions of faith. Speak faith, act faith. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you speak in tongues right where you are? Ragabalatosa. You're watching me online. Those of you online, I want you to start praying in the spirit. You are watching me and you have not given your heart to Jesus. You have not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. I want you to do that now. And it's not difficult to do that. You believe in your heart that God loves you and sent his son to die for you. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life. That he is the provision, the propitiation, meaning the sacrifice for your sins to be forgiven. and you declare with your mouth that He's the Lord of your life and receive eternal life, receive forgiveness of sin, you are saved. If you are not born again, I want you to do that, pray that prayer, believe in your heart right now. The rest of us, can we speak in other tongues? Morabakapa Soshoto. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. Can you rise and speak some faithful words? Can you rise and speak some faithful words? Those of you following online in small groups, in cells, in home fellowships, I want you to join us. Those following from your rooms, from your hotel rooms around the world, just join us right where you are. I want to speak faithful words. I'm going to declare, the Lord is my caretaker. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shield. No evil shall befall me. The hand of the Lord is upon me. I walk in faith. I walk in the power of God. Go ahead and speak faithful words. Those of us here, just speak those words. Speak those words. Speak those words in the name of Jesus. Speak those words. Lagos kila gom braktoska. Mashala gombrektis kalida goska. Shelege brendos kiladon deskalida brunda. Ragabalatons kalidadons keshte brunda kiraskataya. Ligons kabalida. Ligarons keshto braktila cons kaladabunda. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Mato kapaya. The hand of the Lord is upon me. Morning, noon, and night. In the name of Jesus, can you speak faithful words and proclaim those words one more time upon yourself, upon your family, in the name of Jesus. Maragons kashti baladonska ligons kashto braktila kons keligahaya sheli brandos kila kons keba sheli andoska. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us the victory. Thank you for giving us the victory. Can you go ahead and rejoice? I say, Lord, thank you for giving. Can you go ahead and rejoice? Hooray!
Hallelujah. We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.